Hi, my name is Paul Dunn, and you're listening to the Good Neighbor Pharmacy Connect podcast, a podcast dedicated to independent pharmacy. If you listened to our podcast earlier, you might have heard from our homeopathic expert, Christoph Merville, who's a pharmacist out of Boron, one of our manufacturer partners. So Christoph is back to talk about another hot topic in today's consumer world. We're going to go into a little bit more detail around homeopathy. So welcome back, Christoph.
Thank you.
I'm very happy to have you back. The reviews are in on your first episode and everybody wanted to listen to it again. So they wanted to know a little bit more. They wanted to hear a little bit more from you around homeopathy. You know, you're a pharmacist. There are skeptics out there who may not totally understand the ins and outs of homeopathy like you do. So first, though, I would like to give you a chance to introduce yourself. For our listeners who didn't get a chance to listen to the previous episode, how can they get to know you a little bit more?
So I'm a French pharmacist, as you can hear. My training is mostly a hospital pharmacist. I did 3 years and a half in a university hospital. And then after my military service, I joined Boron, which is the leading homeopathic company in the world now. And after 4 years there in France, they had an opportunity to send me to the United States. So I've been there since 94.
And what is your role with Boron?
So I started as a branch manager, but I always had an inclination for training. So now I'm director for education and pharmacy development. So I train pharmacy students, I train pharmacists, sometimes physicians or dentists and nurses as well.
And what are some of the ways that you train these folks?
Poker games. Yeah. I design very interactive training because I believe that we learn by doing. So for pharmacists, we are working on interactive case studies. So they are placed in real conditions and that's how they learn.
And what are some of the questions that you hear from pharmacists when you're talking to them about homeopathy?
What is it? How does it work? That's the first question.
So what's your answer to those?
So yeah. What is it? The first thing for pharmacists is to know that homeopathic medicines are medicines. They are defined as drugs. They are FDA regulated. They are not FDA approved. They have been grandfathered in the list of medicines in 1938. But they are regulated as drugs. Their manufacturing and labeling distribution is regulated by the FDA. So that's the most important thing. They have an NDC number and their manufacturing is subject to the same constraints as conventional medicines. So right. They are not herbs or supplements. They are medicines. They belong to pharmacists, in fact.
Right, yeah. Yeah, how so?
That's what I always say to students and pharmacists. Homeopathic medicines, consider them as a tool in your toolbox. They are not able to cure everything, but they can relieve a lot of different symptoms, and they do it safely with a very low risk of side effect and a very low risk of interaction with other medicines.
So could you talk about some of that a little bit more, the science behind it? Because you've obviously now had firsthand experience, which I would imagine many of our independent pharmacists have not had, but of being in a lab, seeing it all made, and talking to the founders of Boron, as you said, the leading homeopathic manufacturer.
Homeopathy was born at the age of enlightenment, where some physicians started to doubt the old techniques. And they started experiment with increasingly smaller doses of very active substances. And they designed ways to manufacture them easily. And they started to really see that if you follow some rules, and I'll give you an example in 1 minute, you can really provoke a favorable reaction in the patient. An example that I take is, for example, the homeopathic medicine called Coffea Cruda, which is made from the coffee bean. So if you drink too much coffee, you know what happens. You can't go to sleep.
Right.
You have racing thought. That's precisely why we drink coffee, to stay alert. In homeopathy, we use Coffea Cruda, which is a homeopathic preparation from the coffee bean, to relieve sleeplessness with agitation, racing thoughts, things like that. So impossible to fall asleep and tossing and turning. With or without anxiety, that's not a problem. But this is the indication of Coffea Cruda. So if you go with the same logic, for example, we use homeopathic dilutions of arsenic to treat traveler's diarrhea. Because one of the symptoms of acute intoxication with arsenic is precisely diarrhea with weakness, chills, impossible to move, staying on the bed and having chills. So, of course, doses that we use are so diluted that there are no risk of intoxication per se. That's very important. When you look at the homeopathic dilutions, the ones that are sold over the counter can really do not interfere, do not have any more toxic action. There are some that are on prescription only that might be of some interest for pharmacists, but the majority are sold over the counter.
Okay, so let's talk about that, the over the counter versions of homeopathy. Who are some of the shoppers that would be interested in a product like this? What's their sort of psyche, if you can speak to that?
So in the United States, homeopathy was brought in the US by immigrants from Europe. In the first homeopathic physician established himself in 1823. And up to the mid-40s, homeopathy was really prevalent. Now today, who is interested in purchasing homeopathic medicine? People that know that they're safe, people who prefer a more quote-unquote natural treatment, people who understand that rather than masking symptom, they stimulate the natural reaction, physiological reaction of the body to react, to go through the disease faster rather than masking just a symptom.
So there's somebody who's pretty proactive about their health?
I would say the homeopathic medicines now are presented in such a way that it can be difficult to see that they are homeopathic medicines.
Right, okay.
The word of mouth is tremendous, and some people will buy oscillococcinum for flu-like symptoms without knowing that's homeopathic. And frankly, it's not really the point. The point for the consumer is to have a medicine that they trust, does the job, and is safe. I encourage pharmacists always to be curious. There is continuing education on homeopathic medicine. If you go to different providers, you type homeopathy, you get very high quality continuing education. Our website, More on USA, has a section for pharmacy resource centers when pharmacists can learn more about homeopathic medicine. Once again, it's not difficult to learn. That's what pharmacists tell me after when they start really practicing. They tell me, well, I don't know how it works, but what I see is that patients are coming back and ask and tell me, this was great. Now, it's not a 100% result, because nothing is 100%, but you have a high rate of satisfaction, and that's what counts. Plus, for the pharmacist, you know, if you have a pregnant nursing woman with a bad cough, you have a person who has several different medicines for chronic conditions, and you want to relieve pain or you want to relieve hot flashes, what do you do? Homeopathic medicine answers these needs.
I think that's interesting. What I wanted to pause on for a second is something that you said about that experience of the patient coming back into the pharmacy and saying to the pharmacist, this worked for me. That's a pretty powerful reaction, I think, that happens within an independent pharmacy. So I think that is really unique, because it is a new product that the patient may not have tried before. So when they're coming back, they're not just having a positive reaction to what they tried. They're having a positive reaction to your store and to the recommendation that you made on a new product that they should try.
If the pharmacist knows how to use homeopathic medicine, it's one more opportunity to start a dialogue. On a certain level, the homeopathic recommendation is very individualized. It means if you have, for example, nausea, you want to use generics, there are questions you need to ask. Is it nausea with hypersalivation? Is it nausea improved by fresh air? Is it, and so on and so forth. At a certain level, the pharmacist is able really to ask more questions. Patients like that. Plus, you discover by talking to your patient that sometimes there are things you didn't know. Oh, I have a heartburn, but behind it, there is a big history of stress and sleep problems. So you want to not only to go to the symptom, but you want to know the whole story in order to do a better job. That's what makes the pharmacy job so interesting.
Right.
Because you talk to a human being, not only just relieving a symptom.
Yeah, we know this from our research here at AmerisourceBergen, and I'm sure you know the same, and our customers know that from what they feel out in their stores. But that patient interaction, when you get to talk to that pharmacist and they make that recommendation, it feels so personal to them. So transitioning a little bit, I wanted to jump into some of the products that you carry. So I know from our own research here that 4,000 of our customers do carry some type of boron product today. 50% of those products that we see selling are in the pain care category. So I would love to talk with you about some of the pain care products that Boron offers. I know there's Arna Care, and that seems to be one of the most popular ones. So let's talk about why homeopathy works in terms of safe pain relief.
So Arnica montanae, which is the material of Arna Care, is a plant, mountain daisy, that has been known for centuries. But pharmacologically, it's an analgesic. It's also anti-inflammatory. And third, important, it's anti-ekymotic, so it reduces bruising. So we use it either topically, and for this we use the herbal extract in a gel form for quick absorption, or in a cream if you want massage, or even in an ointment if you prefer the form. So you just apply it where it hurts, joint pain, arthritic pain, or just pain from overexertion after a long workout,
right,
or trauma, provided the skin is not open. The second form of arnica is arnica tablets or pellets, and in that case, we use the homeopathic dilution. So it's a far more diluted form, because we know now that arnica's active compounds work in very, very small concentration. We think that it's probable that's the mode of action. And if you take arnica pellets or tablets, you will have a systemic action. So if you're stiff all over from the workout, don't take a bath in arnica cream. It's
right.
Not very practical. But you can take the pellets sublingually. They dissolve in the mouth. You don't need water. And so for people, for example, who suffer from arthritic pain and take painkillers, when they can use arnica arthritis, which is a compound containing arnica, and when they take arnica arthritis at the onset of flares, they can reduce their dosage for medicine that are useful but can have side effects or cause drowsiness or other things like that. So that's exactly an example of how to use homeopathic medicine. You take them first and you delay for the use of medicine that are, more potent but also have side effects. So advantage with homeopathy, low risk of side effect, and very, very low risk of interaction.
Okay, so let's talk about the next most popular category, which is cold and flu.
Yes.
I know that that's probably pretty popular right now and is one of the number one reasons why somebody goes to a pharmacy. They feel sick. You're also using it today yourself.
Yes.
You're using Chestal. So could you talk about some of the cold and flu products that Boron carries?
So the main medicine that we carry is called a funny name of oscillococcinum. We call it Oscillo. It has been, in fact, discovered during the 1918 flu pandemic. So it's an old medicine. And it has been on the market since the 30s. Now, it's a medicine that you take for flu-like symptoms. It's not only for the full-blown flu. It's also when you start having chills, but it's not influenza. So it's important to know. And it's a medicine you take at the very onset of symptoms. You don't wait until you know if it's a cold or a flu. You take it as soon as you feel in the afternoon, oh gosh, I'm going to be sick tomorrow morning. That's why you take Oscillo. Sublingual absorption can be given to kids, 2 and above, doesn't interact with other medicines. So we have a very interesting clinical studies on oscillococcinum showing that it reduces the duration and severity of flu-like symptoms. Pharmacists always tell me when they talk about Oscillo, sometimes, the physician has ordered an antiviral and it's a little bit expensive, or we discover that there is a possibility of interaction and they say, oh, I am able to, recommend Oscillo instead. So, of course, that's the pharmacist's choice.
Right.
They're not telling, but it's exactly an example of sometimes it's very useful to have that little tool in your toolbox.
How do you recommend that the pharmacist has a conversation with that patient to make it a little bit more proactive at the onset of symptoms? Because, I myself have walked into a pharmacy, stuffy nose, I have a cough, I feel awful, and it's because I've sort of put it off for a few days before, and then I'm looking for one of the over-the-counters that we see probably more prevalently. How does a pharmacist have that conversation with that patient to be a little bit more proactive? Because it's a little bit of a different reaction.
Well, it's where the pharmacist has one of the most interesting roles, the role of educator. You come to the pharmacy with flu-like symptoms, means you are contagious. It means your entire family is at risk to catch whatever you have, especially the flu, extremely contagious. So that's where you say, okay, you have a full-blown flu. You take oscillococcinum every 6 hours. You start now. But people around you, as soon as they feel something, they'll start taking the medicine before it develops, because that's where the studies show that it works the best in the first 48 hours. And coincidentally, it's the same for antivirals. They work best when taken early, because that's where you can control the virus better. So we don't know exactly how Oscillo works, but it seems really to stimulate the reaction from the body to contain the infection. By telling this and saying, okay, carry some Oscillo at work, give that to your husband or your wife, and keep an eye on the kids as well. That's where you start that dialogue and so on. And then they'll tell you, oh, I stopped coughing. So we have a homeopathic cough syrup that's good for all types of cough, and so on and so forth. So you start knowing more, and you discover that, yes, the mother-in-law has hot flashes and cannot take hormone replacement therapy because she's at risk of breast cancer. That's where homeopathy can be useful.
The next most popular category is first aid. So what products does boron have that have to do with the first aid category?
So the first aid category, I would say, is calendula cream and ointment. Calendula is an extract of marigold, and it stimulates the epithelialization of the skin during wound healing, and it also stimulates the production of collagen by fibroblasts. And on top of it, you have the moisturizing effect of the cream ointment. The advantage, for example, is that if you put, instead of putting a large spectrum antibiotic on the skin, which destroys the microbiome and might promote resistances and of course some side effect, you use a medicine that will speed up wound healing but do not interfere with the microbiome. Doesn't prevent you to disinfect, of course, but you want to have a gentle approach. If you use antibiotic, you destroy some of the bacteria that will stimulate wound healing, and it's counterproductive. Let's keep antibiotic really for when they are needed. So calendula is a good alternative first aid approach. There is a continuation program on calendula on wound healing that's published by Pharmacy Times. Very interesting.
As we talk about this, it sounds like there's a huge opportunity for that continuing education. And that's obviously a big part of what you do every day. So could you talk to our pharmacists about how they learn more? And just a note for all of our listeners is that we will include any of these mentions in the show notes and the promotional materials around this.
So, what we do at Boron is we sponsor continuing education. We have our own program of education, but of course, being Boron, it's biased. It's towards us. That's what we do as a company. However, we thought that our role was really to promote unbiased continuing education, working with professionals that are developing programs with experts. And that's probably the gold standard for pharmacists. Unbiased, high quality continuing education, so they can have both sides of the problem and make their own judgment. And we are very confident that those programs have really been met with lots of interest and success, and they are very useful practically for pharmacists and technicians to recommend homeopathic medicine in the best conditions when they are indicated, when they are appropriate.
As we start to close out, what would you say to any of the remaining skeptics out there? What would you say to any of your peers that are unsure?
Yeah, I would say it's very healthy to be skeptical. Skepticism promotes the advancement of science, but it should be constructive skepticism, not close-minded skepticism. As a pharmacist, although I've been relieved when I was a teenager for my allergy with homeopathy, I was really saying, how can that work? First of all, look at the daily experience. People like them, buy them. They are 200 years old. They should have disappeared if it was only a fad,
right?
Like mesmerism, but they're still there. And there is good science behind it. we are able to provide lots of references. If you go to PubMed and you type homeopathy, you have more than 5,000 articles. Some pro, some against, but that's not the point. The point is, as a pharmacist, your role is to help your customer. How can you do it in a safe way? And promoting a dialogue and keep, you know, not interfering badly with their health. So that is, I would say, the place of homeopathic medicine. That's why they are interesting for pharmacists. And besides, there are a lot of conventional medicines. We have absolutely no idea how they work.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Christoph. Thank you for coming back and doing another episode with us. We really appreciate your time and your expertise. So we'll make sure that we get your information out there. All of the continuing education courses that you sponsor, that you support, we'll make sure our customers know that as well. Thank you so much for coming on Good Neighbor Pharmacy Connect.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to everyone who joined us. This has been another episode of Good Neighbor Pharmacy Connect. You can find our podcasts on gnpcentral.com, the Apple Podcast app, and the Google Play Store. So please subscribe, rate, and share our episodes, and please join us next time. Thank you so much for listening.